You are listening to the All Digital Radio Network.
This is international film and television star Nick Searcy, and for some unknown reason, you are now listening to Off the Hook Radio. God help you all. So you're a tough guy, like a really rough guy. You just can't get enough guy, just always a bluff guy. Yeah, I'm a bad type, make your mama sad type. Make your girlfriend mad type, might seduce your dad type. I'm a bad guy.
Well, we're bad guys.
Yeah, well.
And we had him on our show last night. Not off the
hook. How'd
it go? It was awesome. He's great. He is funny as hell.
Adam Ezagwazian is one of the best personalities we've ever met from American Idol.
Welcome everybody first. Just say so I can hit 2020, and then I want you to pull up and tell everybody real quick.
Well, I have a PSA.
Oh, okay. All right.
Can I skip my PSA?
No. Okay. Just. Tell,
I worked
tell,
hard to get that.
Well, okay, then we'll hold on. We'll do all your thing.
All right.
What is Adam? Give us his career, because he's doing awesome after American Idol with some all of the right. shit he's involved in.
After the PSA.
All right.
Well, you understand why if you think about it. Welcome to Off the Hook Radio for April 13th,
2020.
Now these guys hassle me because like Nick Searcy's like.
Nothing.
That's the only famous person you know.
Well, and he ain't famous.
He did.
I don't
our
even
intro.
Know who he is.
He is famous. He is famous.
And he does our intro, and God bless him for that. He even made
That's
it.
That's what
fun.
He's famous for, I think.
Yeah. But look, I've been working at this, okay, and I got a coronavirus PSA from the actor that you might have even heard of, CB. Christopher Walken.
Oh, him I've heard of.
Yes. We got him to call in and do this, and Slim recorded it for us. Slim, please give our public service announcement to the people.
Hello. How are all you kids doing out there? Are you staying home, washing your hands? Make sure you're very quarantined. You gotta wash your hands after you pick up your father's watch. When you pick up the cowbell, you gotta hit that, and you gotta do it right. So stay home, stay safe, and of course, you gotta listen to Adam and the Metal Hawks.
All right, I got you.
All right,
got your setup. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay because that was Adam Ezagwazian, the lead singer for the band Adam and the Metal Hawks, former semifinalist on American Idol 2015. This young man does a lot of impersonations. He can do Ray Romano and Kermit the Frog and stuff, but he's a voiceover actor. He's done Pokemon the movie and Tall
he's
Tales.
He's got a regular character on a couple
well, that
of
I
things.
Didn't know.
Yeah, that's what's awesome. He's
Pixie
regular...
Saves Christmas was another movie he did. And then on the Disney Kids Channel Pokemon series, he has a semi-recurring character on there. Apparently his character got beat up in a fight, but it's being written back into future episodes when they go back to doing it. So
it's so freaking cool. He sits in a studio and gets to voice over a cartoon character. I mean, how awesome is that?
But the cool thing about him and his band, which you heard a sample of him doing Bad Guys at the beginning. His new band's got their first album out on the 17th. That's Friday, and they, of course, are locked down and not touring and playing gigs and stuff like they want to be. But their first foreign tour has been booked. And that's still a go as of now because it doesn't start until the end of August. But, Slim, tell people who Adam and the Metal Hawks are opening for.
Oh, it's Alice Cooper... Something to do with Alice Cooper.
Alice Cooper, Jimmy Page. And,
yeah, I wasn't sure who it was.
And a guy you might have heard of, Johnny Depp. Okay, Johnny Depp has a band. He's had one for a long time. He's touring Europe the end of the summer and into the fall.
Well, wasn't it his son, but Alice Cooper is going to make some appearances.
I think that's what it is. But Adam and the Metal Hawks are opening for them. Now, as soon as Johnny Depp's name hits there, it's going to sell out. And then you got Jimmy.
It doesn't
you
matter.
You got Jimmy freaking Page playing guitar.
Dude, listen, it doesn't matter who they're opening for. They're going to Europe to play music.
How much better does it get?
Amazing. It's an amazing thing. American Idol.
We're very proud of them.
This is where you can, you can go with shows like that, like this. American Idol, The Voice. Not everybody, but some people.
Yeah, but he's a real talent. And I said to him last night in the show, it's his rock voice is so strong. He's like the Pavarotti of heavy metal, man. Kid can wail. But anyway.
Well, good for him. I wish him all the success.
Like Adam and the Metalhawks, the lockdown continues. But it is getting a little bit better. The panicky predictions seem to be too high, and that's good. But the media is still 100% focused on getting Trump rather than telling us what's what on the coronavirus, so we still have to deal with that. There are exceptions, but outside of Tucker Carlson, not too many. And on the other side, on the few other side, there's some that are so stridently twist everything in Trump's favor to make up for the rest of the movie. The media, I can't stand them either, and that would be like Sean Hannity. As soon as Sean Hannity comes on, I turn it off. Unless he's got a really good guest on that night, then I might suffer through it, but not very often. So as you should, you people come here for the news.
Yay, news.
And we gotcha.
Hold on. I just want to make 2 points real quick in your opening thing before you go to your we gotcha. The government right along was the ones that gave us those doomy numbers. It wasn't the media. The government was the ones that gave us the numbers of the how many people are going to die? I mean, it came from Fauci's mouth himself. 200,000 people are going
to
die.
No, it wasn't the media that gave it to him. No, but it was college think tanks who do their little modeling things. They haven't been anywhere near right yet. So that's another.
But that's because the social distancing's working. That's why the models aren't. That's why we didn't peak at the numbers that they want because the social. It is.
No, it isn't. Because without social distancing was the 1.6 to 2.2 million number that they first came out with. And the revised models after that, which was from 110 or whatever to 240, that was with social distancing. That was factored in. Now, they're going, oh, no, not really. Yeah, it was. I've seen clips, with Dr. Scarf, what's her name, Burks. When she said no, that was factored in from the very beginning. So it is. It's just the media is trying to spin it. Like I said, it's hate Trump all the time, and I'm just sick and tired of it. So I don't watch too much anymore. I do things like this. I worry about an industry that's really suffering from the crisis. And I'm sure it's not the one you're actually thinking of, but we're talking about an industry that's really suffering due to the coronavirus shutdown. And that's the forgotten dominatrix industry.
Poor dear.
It's hard. People don't think about this. You got to have sympathy. We've got Aviva Diamond as our example. She's 33. She's been a dominatrix in New York City for 6 years, specializing in slave training, humiliation, foot fetishes, and more. But after pivoting to online sessions only, she finds herself in a serious financial bind. She started
it's
getting
be tough whacking somebody with a whip from
over Skype.
Yeah.
Hey Slim, that new thing that you're talking about earlier, what's it called?
No, it's not new, but it's what everyone's using in this shutdown.
What's it
called? Zoom is the big one right now.
Can you whip anybody on Zoom?
Oh, you can whip them, but they ain't gonna feel it.
Okay, so this is not going to get better for Aviva then. Okay, I just wanted to check.
Well, no, but she just needs to charge more for the clients that she did retain and she can make up for it.
No, they're not allowed out. They're on lockdown.
Well, the ones that do want to do teleconferencing, just charge them more.
Well, I mean, if you're in lockdown and you're being punished, isn't that the whole thing?
That's part of it in itself.
But they like to get whipped. And apparently a lot of her clients were people who flew into New York on business. And nobody's flying into New York on business. So she said, I've now had thousands of dollars of cancellations this month, and I've had no physical sessions at all. And none.
Can't she apply for unemployment?
No.
Not if she works for herself.
Self-employed. She didn't lay herself off. A typical week. Yeah, a typical week consists of 8 to 15 hours of in-person sessions, making up 90% of her income, and another 20 to 30 hours of administration work.
Administration?
Yeah, that's talking people into to the 8 to 15 hours of in-person sessions. That's basically what that is. It's been challenging for her to make this shift from mostly in-person sex work to exclusively operating online. She's producing more femdom videos, feminine dominant videos, adding content to her online subscription platform like OnlyFans.
Wait a minute. If she's got an online subscription thing going, yeah, she needs to stop crying poverty, because I know what these people make that do she is racking in the dough.
Apparently you don't know what she makes on in-person sessions, though.
It doesn't matter. I know what she's doing.
That's 90% of her income is from the in-person sessions. But she's pushing them up, but her online sessions and content are sold at a fraction of her rate for physical sessions. So she has to hustle much harder to make less than what she was making before. And there's really no substitute for the physical contact of in-person bondage discipline sadomasochism sessions.
Nothing like it, huh?
That's what she says.
Okay.
I'm concerned about the long-term economic effects this will have on me. Luxury experiences, this is apparently a luxury experience,
all right,
are one of the first things people stop paying for during a recession, so my work is likely to be jeopardized for many, many months. America, have some sympathy for Aviva.
It is not going to be for many, many months, because the second that her shop can reopen, these men are going to be flocking. You know, her 8 to 15 hours is going to be 15 to... She's going to be doing 24 hours a day.
She's going to have a lot of pent-up dominating.
She's going to be just making all sorts of cash. That's why she needs to
redeem her. She's going to have a lot of pristine butts to whack, huh?
Yeah, just keep, you know, touch it.
All healed up.
They're all healed up.
Even touch with them during Zoom, you know, whip them a few times on the Zoom screen, and I'm telling you, as soon as they can fly back to New York, they're going to call her right up, and she can just charge more money.
America, you got to think about others. That's our point here. Just care. Just care a little bit. I gave blood today. I care. That was fun.
My blood.
Well, I give blood. And you guys know, we've talked about it on the show, I am an alien god descendant, so I have O negative, the universal blood type. Anybody and everybody can use it.
CB and I are Jedi. We trump you.
And I just walked into the place, and the girl says, "Do you have an appointment?" And I said, "No," because I already knew their appointments were like into May 7th or something like that was her next appointment available. She goes, "Well, what blood type are you?" I said, "O neg." "Oh, sir, please have a seat. We'll be right with you." And the next couple, three people walk in after me. She asked them the same question. They all got turned around and marched out the door.
Is it time?
It's helpful to be an alien god. That's all I can say. But any crisis, and this is a crisis, it gives politicians new and expanded... They give politicians new and expanded powers. That's obvious. And we've already documented some on this show. But sometimes we just got to give you the news straight and let you decide. Let's go to Illinois. Alton, Illinois, to be precise. The mayor of the small city in Illinois warned citizens that he had ordered police to break up parties and issue citations to enforce the state's stay-at-home orders that are meant to slow the coronavirus pandemic.
Good for him.
Yep. And the officers were out last weekend doing their job, according to the mayor. They were out busting up parties and citing people. Unfortunately, at one of those parties, they found the mayor's wife.
First of all, how the hell does he not know she's going to a party? That's what I want to know.
Well, how big a dick is he that his wife would rather go out to a party and maybe get coronavirus and be home with him on a Saturday night? They found his wife at a bar in the city that was operating in violation of the governor's stay-at-home orders. He was embarrassed, and he apologized to his constituents. "My wife is an adult capable of making her own decisions, and in this instance, she exhibited a stunning lack of judgment."
I know.
She will face the same consequences for her ill-advised decision as the other individuals caught at the event.
And what's that? Nothing?
I don't know, but I'll tell you what. The easiest piece of ass in Alton, Illinois, when this thing breaks up, is going to be the mayor's wife. I'm just telling you right now. You want any whips? You want any chain? Just say, are you the mayor's wife? Yeah. Want to fuck? Hell yeah. but of course, like all smarmy politicians, he didn't issue that statement till later on when word leaked out. Apparently, one of the police officers let it leak out. Reading between the lines here, because he didn't provide the name of his wife and made sure she wasn't identified in the local news reports.
Aw, she didn't make the blotter.
Well, she made it now because some policeman apparently got pissed off about it, let it out.
And now she's on off-the-hook radio, so the whole world.
Yeah. And she's famous.
Wait. I got something for her.
And her calendar is full.
Yeah. I don't think she deserves taps.
I assume that's what their marriage might. I'm okay with Slim doing that. I think their marriage probably does deserve taps.
Hold on.
Somebody's going to be tapping her.
That better.
She'll be biting something. I'm telling you what. Oh, anyway. So, hey.
So does this hurt or help the mayor's reelection chances?
I think it makes him look like a pansy dick, but you know,
election year or not?
Of course, I know there's one less vote he's going to get.
Yeah, I'm not a resident of Alton, Illinois.
Yeah, well, I don't think his wife's going to vote for him.
No, she's probably doing the policeman that turned in her husband for being a dick. She'll be doing somebody, just not him.
You know, and that's one of the things that. 90, well, I don't want to say 90%, but a majority of these politicians, their wives, the wives and husbands, they live two totally separate lives from one another, you know, and they don't know where one is and where the other one's at. And I mean, they don't. I mean, and that's just the celebrity life. So I can
yeah,
see
but
where
what about
you?
About a small city in Illinois. I mean, I got a feeling it's not. He's not
well,
living
yeah,
a
no,
jet
I,
set life.
Slim, you're a lot more popular than the mayor of Alton, Illinois.
Yeah, but that's probably
you
true.
Got blue check marks on like 20 some different friggin' well,
maybe,
things.
Maybe he does too. What's his
you're,
what's
you're
his
becoming,
name?
You're becoming a TikTok god.
Wait, what's his name? Give me his name.
Oh, I gotta wait a minute. Oh, what's his dickhead's name?
Oh, I thought you had it right there.
Brant Walker.
Mayor Brant Walker.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, Mayor Brant Walker, you are officially not anybody on Facebook, so eat shit.
Jesus.
Christ, even I got a check mark on one of my pages, for Christ's sake, and I'm not mm-hmm. famous. Yeah.
That's a little harsh.
I'm just going to say hi to him. That's all. I'm just going to say hi to Mayor Walker.
On TikTok?
No, on Facebook.
On Facebook? Okay. Say hello.
He won't see it, though.
Can I have your wife's phone number?
I wonder if he knows it.
You obviously aren't going to need it anymore.
Oh, God.
All right. You got him?
Yeah, I got him.
All right. This story is a bit of power madness from a politician, but it's also weird enough to make our show from Hawaii. We talked about this on pre-show, and I think the guys are going to kill me on my take on this one. But a Hawaii mayor arrested a Florida man and a couple others, actually two of them are from Florida, who showed up his town in Hawaii, and he called them COVIDiots.
I love the term.
You're COVIDiots.
Yeah.
Kauai Mayor Derek Kawakami. Ooh, I think I might have got that one right. It's pretty damn close. He isn't taking credit for coining the word born out of the COVID-19 pandemic, but he says, I may be the first elected official to bust it out in public. Apparently, Bobby Edwards from Boynton, Florida, was arrested last week after police say he landed on the island without proof of accommodations.
Dumbass.
Now, you know, it's Hawaii. You could sleep on the beach. You know, the weather's good. You know, you're going to get, as long as you have a cover for when it rains, because it rains three times a day, but it's, you know, it's beautiful the rest of the time. A statewide order requires those who arrive on the islands to have to quarantine for 14 days.
Good.
Okay. So if you're going to vacation in Hawaii right now, what this mayor is saying is, you have to be coming for at least 3 weeks, because your first 2 weeks you're going to be stuck in your hotel room paying $700 a night.
Good.
Who the hell wants to pay triple for your vacation to paradise?
Well, dumbasses. You know,
Let me just, here's just one, you know, food for thought. If you have a nice enough hotel suite and, you know, stuff like that, it may pay to be stuck there for 2 weeks in quarantine, getting, you know, room service and, you know, probably a beautiful view and a balcony versus being stuck here where we, you know, have terrible weather and it snows still. And, you know, I mean, I guess I'd rather spend 2 weeks there, even though I'm going to be paid to do nothing but sit in my hotel room.
You're sitting in the house at home pretty much.
If you got enough money to piss away for 2 weeks of quarantine in a luxury hotel in Hawaii, you probably live in a nice enough place to tolerate it for 2 weeks.
Well, you're probably right there too. And that they have the jacuzzi in their own house, and their own pool in their own house, and the tennis court, and probably
I don't have
basketball.
A tennis court, but I got the first.
You don't. Trip. And I bet most millionaires their basketball rims didn't come down.
Yeah, with my knees, if I put up a basketball rim, I'd have to put it about 8 feet. I've had enough knee surgeries. I got white man's disease. I can't jump at all anymore. Oh, it's horrible. Yeah, but I just think, you know, look, if you're going to do this to people, and another guy from Tampa showed up, and there's another guy from Washington that showed up too. They're all the same thing.
Jeez.
They showed up without reservations, and basically the mayor paid to ship all of them back to the mainland.
Yeah, but is this not the same thing that Texas is doing or was doing? I mean, when people came across from whatever state, I don't even know what state border is it. That's stupid me.
Louisiana.
Louisiana. Okay. Well, wasn't he putting people, telling them? I mean, I don't think he was, you know, forcing
them. He was telling them they had to quarantine for 14 days. Yeah.
It's the same idea.
In
I mean, but
Florida's doing the same thing.
These people are just idiots to want to spend, you know, $2,000 a night in a luxury hotel to quarantine. But, you know,
because the thing is, everybody was given, you know, back to your money.
It's
a hell of a lot cheaper to quarantine in Texarkana than it is in Kauai.
They're not giving me back a deposit on a hotel for a gymnastics event that was canceled in New Jersey. They're absolutely they absolutely refused to give me back the $250 deposit. Said, nope, you're not getting it back. And I'm not the only parent that they said no to. All of them. They said, nope, you're not getting your deposit back on the hotel.
Jesus.
I may actually think about calling the credit card company about it, but
I would.
We'll see.
Well, anyway, this guy arrested three COVID idiots and sent them back to the mainland, but
good.
I'm just like, you know, if you're going to be that weird, just if you're shut down, just say you're shut down. Just let it go. But then, like CB said on pre-show, look, if somebody's stupid enough to pay for a hotel room for 2 weeks, you can take the tax money and there you go.
Absolutely.
So
make that money.
That, I
come here and look out a window.
As soon as that point came up, I lost the argument. So
yeah. Come look out the window. Have a good time.
Yeah, there's a weird thing on trending now in the New York Post where we got this article from. On the right hand column, I've got a story here. It says North Carolina woman gets coronavirus despite staying home for 3 weeks.
Okay.
I think she got a little too close to the delivery boy.
I got a feeling
That shows that it could have come through a package or through mail, or somehow, even though she stayed home and maybe nobody actually technically visited her house other than a delivery or mail, it shows that you could still get this virus, I think.
You think?
I do. I mean, they're saying now if you're watching, I don't know if it was Fauci or if it was the WHO, but it can be carried on your shoes. The sole of your shoes is carrying this virus now.
Well, I'm not going to rub the sole of my shoe on my face.
Well, no, but you're still have it on the soles of your shoes. You walk into
I got dog pee in the sole of my shoes.
People.
I think that kills it.
It might.
Yeah, it's a bitch. Hey, but I just, you know, it's always been my thought for a long time that the nine scariest words are I'm from the government and I'm here to help. You know, a lot of these people aren't helping. I got another one coming up in a minute, but this is another example from Illinois. Have you seen the Chicago's new mayor, Lori Lightfoot?
Yes.
Lori Lightfoot, or Larry Lightfoot. I'm not sure.
Leisure Suit Larry Lightfoot.
I was thinking the same thing. You just beat me to it.
Well, I'm trying to get thrown out of England. We'll get to that one in a minute. But on the public face of this city, I'm on national media and I'm out in the public eye. She told the public. Why did she tell them that? Because she got herself a haircut when nobody else in Chicago can. No beauty salons are open. No parlors are open. You know, nothing. No men's, no women's, you know, nothing. Lori Lightfoot is gay. She's quite openly gay. She's a very butchy kind of openly gay. She wears men's suits, men's shirts, men's watches.
Democrat, I assume, as well.
Well, oh, yeah.
In Chicago.
That's why I assumed. I assumed. Well, I just made sure.
She's got a short little gray fro, which it looks very neat, looks very nice. It's fine. But, you know, guys have big fros. Girls have big fros. Why can't she just let it grow out?
How about Angela Davis?
Yeah, do a little Angela Davis. Angela Davis look is not dead. Everything comes back.
Sure. She can start a new one.
But no, she defended her haircut.
I know.
In public to the news media vehemently.
I know.
She was criticized for her
actions. Not as I do.
Because she personally did a public service announcement where she said, getting your roots done is not essential.
Yeah. Getting my roots done is.
Well, actually, she's pretty gray. She don't get her roots done. She just got a haircut. And quite frankly, it's not even that great a haircut. You know, what's the big freaking deal? Get a pick, fluff it out, go Angela Davis. No, I would rather do something that I just denied to the 3 million residents of Cook County, or whatever the number is.
Did you know that that's the latest shortage? Is hair clippers?
Hair clippers?
Yep,
because everyone's people doing don't it know.
Yep.
Well, I put a post up on Facebook the other day. It was from 2 years ago. Remember when Zuckerberg was testifying in Congress?
Yep.
And he had that horrible, tiny, short, bang haircut thing.
Yeah, it was freaking weird looking.
I put a picture of him up, and then I put a pie tin beside him. And I said, worth $64 billion, cuts his hair with this.
And he has to sit on a booster seat.
it looked like he cut his hair with a pie tin. Well, apparently, now he's happening. That's the way it is. That's what people got to do.
I got mine cut this weekend.
Zucky was just a trendsetter. You know, $64 billion. Oh, I don't need no stinking hairstylist.
He probably paid like $300 for that haircut. What do you bet?
To make it look like a pie tin.
Yes.
It costs a lot of money to look that bad.
Yes, I'll bet it does.
I mean, he got his hair cut like that before he knew he was going on national TV.
Nope. I guarantee you he did that on purpose. And he got up in the, and it's like the people of Walmart. He got up in the morning, combed his hair, and said, I look good. I'm going to Congress.
Oh. He doesn't even care what he looks like. Isn't he one of those that doesn't care?
Yeah, but you would think his wife would.
I don't. I wouldn't. No. Is there a prenup?
Well, I'm sure there is.
Actually, I'm pretty sure there isn't.
Well, if there isn't, then she doesn't give a shit what he looks like. If there's no prenup, she don't care.
And they got a kid. They got a kid now too. So she's good. She's good to go no matter what. But now back to Lori Lightfoot in Chicago. She immediately did what all politicians does. She defended it. She said the stylist was wearing a mask and gloves. I'm the public face of this city. I'm on national media, and I'm out in the public eye.
Why is she on national media?
Well, because Chicago's got a lot of coronavirus, and she's actually on the phone with Trump a couple times. So.
She doesn't have to go on national
media. You know, that had to kill her to have to call Trump. But the governor of Illinois is Pritzker, who's a billionaire moron. I mean, it's like some of these people make that much money, you just wonder how the hell did they ever do that. But
inherited it.
Yeah, she was better off talking to Trump than that idiot. But she also added, of course, in typical politician fashion, let's change the subject. I think what people really want to talk about, or as she says, I think what people really want to talk about, we're talking about people dying here. We're talking about significant health disparities. I think that's what people care about the most. But, you know, fellow Democratic aldermen are screaming at her about it. So, she made a boo-boo, and like all politicians, what mistake? I didn't make a mistake. Sorry, Mayor Lightfoot, but, you know.
She'll probably blame it on Trump.
And I've got Slim's favorite story of the week next.
Oh, good.
What's that?
I like to get Slim excited. When, you know, the people have always been the real strength of our country. And no, I don't include the media in that. They're not people. But in California, oh, no, I guess, wait a minute. Did I miss something?
I don't know.
Yeah, I did. That story's next. Never mind. I apologize. Absolutely. This is Slim's favorite story. I got one ahead. Let me start this out one. If you're in Michigan, you're going to understand what I'm about to say. If you're in Michigan and governed by Adolph Whitmer, you can't go to your own cabin. You can't visit anybody. You can't go shopping. You can't get seeds to start a garden. And it is spring. That's when people tend to start gardens, you know.
Not in Michigan.
You can't buy paint to spruce up the house. You're stuck in for a month. You can't replace the furniture with the extra check you're getting from the government this week, which is designed to keep the economy moving. But this next story is a result of the draconian policies that the government all over the country has put in place on us, the citizens of America. Slim, I'm sure you'll be proud to know that pot use reached an all-time high in March amid lockdown measures.
Sweet.
I am not surprised.
Oh, all-time high.
That doesn't surprise
me.
Yeah,
I'm surprised Trump hasn't bragged about that. Everything that's the biggest and best and sets a record, he sure as hell tells us about it at his press conference right away. He forgot to mention this one. You know, next letter I get in the mail from him, I'm going to fill out the thing and I'm going to ask him, why isn't Trump bragging about the all-time record in pot use? I mean, because, you know, I mean, I don't care.
There's nothing else to do.
If you hate Trump, you're not going to believe me, but trust me, this is true. Trump doesn't give a flying shit about legalizing pot. He thought Jeff Sessions was an asshole making the laws tougher on pot.
I thought Jeff Sessions was an asshole.
See? You and Trump, perfect together.
Yes. In this particular case, yes. Okay.
But cannabis use hit an all-time high in March as lockdown measures spread across the country, giving more people more free time and less to do. And quite frankly, if you're going to be watching Netflix all day, I guess being stoned is probably the best way to do it, isn't it?
Hell yeah.
But you're the principal superintendent and teacher of a school.
And that is exactly what you hit perfectly. That's why pot use is up across the United States.
Oh,
because everyone's homeschooling their kids.
Nice. Glad everybody loves their children so much.
If you're stoned, it's like, let them be assholes. It's okay.
Makes homeschooling and Common Core a hell of a lot easier to figure out.
Yeah. And I do like the fact that you're the superintendent and you just got a snow flurry last Friday and you said, oh, school's closed.
Snow day. Yep, it's snow day.
that cracked me up.
I get to make that decision now.
This was a March survey of 2,500 customers by Cohen & Company found that 33% had tried cannabis at some point in their lives, a record high. I don't believe that.
That's number. It?
I don't believe that number.
33%?
I think 33% admit it. I think the real number is about 55.
How about 100?
Yeah, even you've tried it, you straight-laced fart.
Hey, I grew up in the 60s.
There you go.
Sort of.
For the past month, 12.8% of respondents said they used pot above the 12.5 average of 2019. Well, that's not that big of an increase. But sales spiked in mid-March as people rushed to stock up. Ahead of
that's true.
Dispensary closures. Data from cannabis analytics from head. Well, anytime I hear the word analytics now, I don't believe it because I've seen the coronavirus analytics. Oh my God. But weekly sales growth peaked at 64% increase the week ended March 16th, the highest rate of increase since the beginning of 2019.
Well, that was due to that stock up. That's your
stocking up.
That and toilet paper.
So toilet paper wasn't the only thing.
Oh, no, God, you should have seen. There was all sorts of coverage on Facebook at the lines outside of the pot shops. I don't know if it was necessarily Massachusetts, but they were all over the place. And the lines were out the door, around the corner, for people to stock up because they knew they were closing.
Yeah, I did post one of those articles.
And, yeah, I remember seeing a few of those.
Yeah, there was a big line of people outside the pot shop. And I said, these people would rather have pot than toilet paper. I said, they won't care. For a while.
You can trade pot for toilet paper or toilet paper for pot. So there you go.
As soon as the buzz wears off and you realize your britches are full of poops, your mind might change a little bit.
I was actually very surprised to see that, like in Massachusetts, you can still get your legal or you can get your record or medical pot in this lockdown, but the legal pot is shut down. And I was surprised.
Correct.
And one of the reasons I was surprised is because most of these pot shops, we're not talking Walmarts. I mean, yes, there is out in Vegas, there's, you know, Walmart-sized pot shops. But most of these shops are small. And the fact where there's only, you know, they only let 3-4 people in at a time in the first place. So there isn't really that big of a deal of too many people congregating in one place. And I mean, it's tax money. You know, they're bitching and griping about all these states are losing all this tax revenue. You know, if pot's something, here in New York, liquor stores are open. Liquor is considered an essential business, which absolutely blows my mind.
I think that's awesome.
I do too, but it blows my mind that they consider that essential. Now, in my opinion, if they're going to consider liquor essential in New York, if we were a legal state, we're not, I would think pot stores would be open. And, you know, it is money that
it probably has something to do with pot still being illegal federally.
Yeah,
that could be.
And I'm sure that somehow that weaves its way into that whole.
I did like that the Justice Department jumped in right away and was backed by the courts. These governors that said gun stores weren't essential and they had to shut down, but Planned Parenthood was allowed to stay open. And
that was in California, wasn't it? That they were trying to shut down.
There was quite a few states where they did that. Right. I wouldn't be surprised if California is among them. I can't think of all of them off the top of my head.
But it was.
But Barr jumped on that and basically said no. Either they both shut down or they both stay open. This is America. And a lot of governors back. New Jersey was one of them. He backtracked. Now, New Jersey, it almost doesn't matter in New Jersey. Yeah, you can buy guns in New Jersey, but you know, you can't carry one. It's just ridiculous. But I thought the other thing that was funny on guns was in California. There was an article this week about all these liberal Californians rushing into gun stores because that was, like you said, Slim, that was one of the ones where they had to reopen them.
Right.
And they were rushing into gun stores to get a pistol, and were all, like, freaking out that they actually had to do a real background check. They thought that wasn't true. The MSNBC tells us there's no background checks. Yeah, there is.
Oh, no, all the laws still were reinstated. It was just, you know.
But then he really got mad because they had to wait 10 days to get something they already paid for. And they're like, what the hell is this? What if I need protection today or tomorrow?
Too bad.
The owner of the store said, nobody who works here voted for that law. Oops!
Yeah, I did like that line. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was great. So anyway, weed use is up. Apparently, but one of the problems is cannabis consumers who work full-time fell by 290 basis points to 42.4% in March from February, a bigger decline than general population. They also tend to be less comfortable with their financial situation. Well, yeah, because you're buying weed all the time. Duh. But weed's pretty cheap, isn't it, Slim?
No, not they're charging.
I guess it depends what state you're in.
Well, yeah, it very well could. I mean, I see in a lot of places it's anywhere from $65 to, you know, $90 a gram. Depending
on
what you're buying. If you want that top shelf medical marijuana, yeah. But I mean, if they do sell stuff that's cheaper. You can get $25, $30 a gram stuff. But
gram?
A gram.
That doesn't sound like much.
That's like $700 an ounce.
If you buy it that way. But if you buy it as an ounce, it's not that expensive.
Oh,
if most people, when they're walking in, are probably buying, you know, $50 worth of weed, but it's, every weed has a different price level, and you know, your $50 may get you an actual eighth of some weed, and your $50 may get you, you know, 4 grams.
Well, I'm not saying I know personally, but I hear in Florida you can get weed for anywhere from 150 to 250 an ounce, depending on the quality.
Well, yeah,
that's what I hear.
If you're buying it in that quantity,
from talking to my neighbors across the street, you know, because we're maintaining social distance.
Most of your people that are going into the weed shop aren't going in and buying an ounce; they're buying, you know, a day or two's worth of weed. So, as you know, the smaller your quantity, the more expensive everything becomes.
They're not buying a year's worth.
No, you're not. They're not walking in and buying a pound. And if you buy edibles.
An ounce is a year's worth for some people, Slim.
Well, it's, yeah, I know, but...
Maybe not it, you.
If you want edibles, that's where you're paying.
Lunch.
Bucks.
Slim goes in and buys lunch.
An ounce, that's lunch. I took a 2-hour lunch break today. Why? Because I bought a whole ounce instead of a half. There you go. God love you, Slimbo. Okay,
dead.
All right. Now I've got the heartwarming story I was starting to set up in error. The people are the real strength of our country, and the media aren't people. I already said that. But in California, we got a heartwarming story of a man helping a friend in need. I love this story. A man named Ian Chan posted a video on Twitter last week showing a drone delivering a roll of toilet paper. Chan wrote, "When you need that TP, but Amazon is out and you're not supposed to leave your house, Tech San Francisco doesn't fail. Thank you, Chenosaurus, for the speedy cross-city delivery. I owe you one." He said,
"Cross-city?"
Yeah.
Holy shit.
He basically was out of toilet paper, and a friend of his put the roll of toilet paper on a drone and flew it to his house on the other side of the city.
How the hell does he know where he's going? Must be camera or something?
Drones have GPS.
Camera. All right. Yeah, but you know, how'd you like not... You might have GPS, but how do you like not fly into shit?
The thing was, they didn't show him sitting naked on his front lawn waiting for the thing to show up, rubbing his ass across the grass.
Sort of like a dog.
Yeah, yeah. That's they didn't show that part, but I mean, the guy really needed TP bad.
I guess.
And since he only got one roll,
share or square.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I wonder how long that's gonna last.
Have you seen the hashtag?
I bet he'll make it last a long time. Yes, I have.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to share a square. I'm sorry. I'll give you a fresh square. I'm not sharing one with you.
Sheryl Crow, remember her?
Yeah.
Sheryl Crow is a big time environmentalist.
Okay.
And. When she was dating Lance Armstrong, back before everybody found out about his steroids and stuff, when he was a hero, she figured, you know, okay, she's getting all this extra media coverage because of him, and she's going to espouse her views. And she actually said in an article that she doesn't see why people use more than one square at a time.
Okay.
And this was a decade or more ago.
See, she was prescient.
I just think she's weird. I mean, Christ, I got that Charmin super soft thick stuff, and I still pull off 4 at a time.
Yeah, one square. What the fuck?
Yeah, screw that. So what else we got? We had the heartwarming story. Oh, now we got the story about us.
non-heartwarming story.
Yeah, this is really sad. This is really sad, guys.
I'm sorry.
Well, you know, you're going to chime in, because I got to know how you feel, but it looks like Off the Hook Radio will soon be banned from the United Kingdom.
Damn. I didn't even know we could go there.
Well, yeah, we're worldwide. That's true. We actually do have people in the United Kingdom that listen to our stupid shit. How the hell did this country hang on in World War II when it's full of politically correct wussies now? Well, you know, I can see how it happened, because it happened fast. You know, the Queen, who was around during World War II, she still got a pair. But if you look at her son and her grandson, you know, the red-haired one anyway, they're wusses. Right?
Okay.
I mean, there's no doubt about it. I had to hit the cough button there. The UK government is now saying insulting someone's appearance is a hate crime. Now, the clip featured several people who are facially disfigured, including some with skin conditions and birthmarks, and also featured a bald woman who doesn't appear to have any facial disfigurement at all. Now, you know, if you make fun of those people, you just deserve to get punched in the face. You know, but what I worry about is where this goes. You know, if everything is a friggin' hate crime, what can you do? You can't do anything.
No, you can't.
But what they're saying is, no one should be abused and insulted because of the way they look. If you are, it's a hate crime. In other words, if I went over in London and I stood in front of Big Ben, and every time a big fat ass woman walked by, I went, "Hey Whipple," I'd be busted.
You're in trouble.
Well, and part of being able to classify these things as hate crimes, they can take away more of your freedoms when you do come, you know, when you're finally released from jail. I mean, I think that's part of it. Instead of just being charged with, you know, disturbing the peace or some stupid charge because you said something inappropriate to someone, it's, you know, now it's a hate crime, or it's a, you know, they
well, this,
or
this
terrorist or terroristic threat. That's one of the new ones that they like to use, is, you know, terrorist.
You gotta understand threat. Though, Slim, in UK right now they've got a Tory government. Boris Johnson, who's recovering from the coronavirus, is in charge. He's a conservative, and This is his somebody in his administration is trying to do this stuff, but this isn't even what the law in England says. The law in England's a little, it's a little weird, but we've got laws like this in America, so it's not that different. It says in the UK, a hate crime is defined as any criminal offense that's based on a person's disability, race, perceived race, religion or perceived religion, or sexual orientation, or transgender identity. You know, that doesn't sound so bad. But, you know, somebody walks by and you go, "Oh my God, look at that fat ass," and they're going to bust you now. So,
well, that just
if you call somebody ugly now, you can get busted. But the Home Office is completely inaccurate in claiming that saying someone's ugly is a hate crime. Look, if you're ugly, you're ugly. And I'm just telling the truth. How can that be a crime?
Well, and that's because we've just turned too sensitive to everything, and nobody has any balls anymore.
You know, you see some big, ugly, big, fat, ugly couple walking by, and you're going, "God, I hope they don't reproduce." You know, and I'm going to jail. I'm going to jail now.
Not in New York. They'll just give you a ticket and let you go.
Oh my God. Well, all I can say about this is the record high violent crime rates and stabbings are going on now in England, and they've got a little more to worry about than preventing verbal insults. I mean, how the hell are you going to do how is a stand-up comedian going to do anything in London anymore? I mean, Dave Chappelle can just cancel his British tour, because, you know, it'll be like Lenny Bruce days back in the 60s again. He'll be busted, the, you know, 10 minutes after he starts his show. It's horrible. But anyway, I think this government mandate was decided by a bunch of cross-dressing Whipples with bad teeth. That's personally my opinion.
It's just more and more control.
I don't know. Boris, dude, you better get your ass back to work soon and clean up your government, buddy. Hey, we got Stupid Criminal of the Week time.
What do you got?
Stupid Criminal of the Week. We got to have a Stupid Criminal of the Week. And we didn't have one last week, did we? It's rare. But this Stupid Criminal of the Week was also a Lucky Criminal of the Week. You know why?
Did he get away?
Didn't die?
No. Well, he didn't die, and he did get away.
So, oh, okay.
But the reason our Stupid Criminal of the Week was lucky was because he wasn't the only criminal there.
Oh.
Gentleman in Colorado. Gentleman, I use that term loosely. But we're not in England, so I can say dumb,
could
ugly
be,
fucker.
Could be Mayor Lightfoot.
Dumb, ugly fucker. He robbed a bank in Castle Pines, Colorado. Douglas County. Around 11:50 a.m. last Monday. The U.S. Bank inside King Supers and Lagai Road in Castle Pines. Witnesses reported seeing the suspect drop his wallet. Okay, so the guy goes in. He robs a bank. He gets money. He's a thin white male with a gray beard. wearing a red bandana and sunglasses, got into a silver sedan parked in the King Supers parking lot close to the store. He gets his money.
No cameras there.
He runs out of the bank, and he drops his wallet. Oh, crime solved. Got his ID, got his credit card, got his bank card, got his driver's license. Nope. The reason our stupid criminal of the week is lucky is because another person picked up his wallet and stashed it in their pocket and left.
Good for him. I hope there was a lot of money in it.
Well, if he was robbing a bank, probably not.
Yeah, that's good point.
Yeah, but see, he's got his bank card, so as soon as this asshole, you know, deposits his loot.
You think he's going to go to a bank and deposit it?
Well, you should.
I've got a feeling no.
Oh, you don't think so?
401k. No, I wonder how many of them have got hit by the die pack.
Well, the police now seem to be looking for the person who stole the wallet harder than the guy who robbed the bank.
Well, you start with him, and then you get the other guy.
Oh, shit.
You know, any
but they got a description of his car. They got his description. I don't know. Screw it. Go ahead, Slim.
The worst part about anybody who robs a bank, it's the fact that the money's going to be absolutely worthless because of the die packs, and every bank uses them. And when you rob a bank, you're gonna get die packs. So you're just wasting your time. I mean, if you do get away, you're not gonna be able to use the money.
Well, we talked about Michigan before, but we've got another criminal, and this criminal's not stupid according to her political party, but she is criminal per the law. This is again from the Michigan Fourth Reich. We have this one. An award-winning Democrat official was arrested on 6 felony charges of election fraud. Award-winning. Like, you know, we're an award-winning podcast.
That's okay? True, we are.
We're not going to get arrested for that.
Unless we say bad things about people in England.
Yeah, unless I go to
England.
Could
we be extradited to England?
I don't know, but maybe I better put off any thoughts going to Liverpool next year.
Daryl Wood, it's his server.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So but this award-winning Democrat official in Michigan was arrested for multiple felony charges relating to voter discrepancies. Her name is Sharakia Hawkins, who earlier this year, get this, received an award from the Democrat Party after being praised for using, quote, unconventional methods to engage the community in voting.
Unconventional.
Yes, apparently her unconventional methods were forging records, falsifying and marking absentee ballots as invalid. So basically she got Republican ballots in, she just marked them invalid in the 2018 election. She was a city clerk for the city of Southfield. She was arrested in February after the Oakland County Clerk's Office noted discrepancies in voter counts while certifying absentee ballots from Southfield. Michigan State Police investigated and found that records have been altered so that nearly 200 voter files were listed as invalid. That's how you make sure your party wins. That's how you get awards for doing new and innovative things. You throw away Republican absentee ballots. Then you get an award. She's honored May 18th.
Well, it was unique.
Last May 18th at the Michigan Democratic Party Legacy Dinner, she received the Dingle Levin Award.
The Dingle Ball Award?
Dingle. Yeah, he was a long-time serving congressman. His wife took over for him. 2017, she was listed among the 40 under 40 by the Michigan Chronicle, according to her bio from her previous role as the Pontiac City Clerk. She made history as the first African-American elected as Southfield City Clerk. She also administered 16 elections in Oakland County and holds a master's degree in municipal clerk designation from the International Institute of Municipal Clerks.
The what?
Sharakia takes pride in using unconventional methods to engage the community in voting.
Or not voting.
Despite what looks like a ton of evidence pointing towards Hawkins's guilt, her attorney said, in classic attorneyese, it's just a technicality. Oh, God. This is why we do this show. You cannot make this shit up. You cannot make this shit up. She got an award for innovative electioneering. Yeah, instead of marking all... See, the usual way they do it is they mark a whole bunch of phony ballots with dead people's names on them for the Democratic candidate, and then they stuff the ballot with them. She says, that's too much work. It's easier just to open up all the Republican ballots and say they're invalid and throw them away. That's innovation, damn it.
Well, it is.
Welcome to our world. Say hi to the kids.
Hey, Wesley. Hey, LJ. Don't listen.
Oh, we don't have time to do the quarantine sex story.
No, we are 20 seconds from saying goodnight. So.
All right. Well, they're saying the quarantine sex story is, some people are having great quarantine sex.
I'm sure they probably are.
If you're having great quarantine sex, write to us on our show page, Off Look Radio.
Send us a video.
Send us videos.
We got all day.
We got nothing to do.
Especially if you're a midget.
Hey, come on. Right. Slim comes up with a great idea. Don't poo-poo it.
That's right. Send us your videos. We promise we won't put them on Pornhub Premium.
No.
Which
Unless
is still free.
A lot of money.
There you go. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye.
God.